Hi, this is Cindy LeBlanc, and welcome to the next episode from the podcast My Rabbit Grace. I am a rabbit pet owner, and I am doing this podcast to share some of the experiences that I've had with my pet rabbits, and also to share tips and things that I've learned through the years, both the good things that I've learned and help you to possibly avoid some of the problems that I've had and the mistakes that I've made in raising pet rabbits. So, on with this. This next podcast, the one currently that we're doing, and excuse me for being a little bit wordy today, but I don't have any script at all. I just wanted to see if I could not have to spend quite as much time scripting things out with the outlines. I thought that the theme would be simple enough that I wouldn't have to do that, but as I start to talk on this, I find my mouth a jumble of words, so please excuse that part of it. I'll try to get right to the point. This podcast is going to be about bathing your rabbit and also trimming the nails on your rabbit. And I will share how I do that and why I do that. Okay, as far as bathing the rabbit goes, most of the time it's not necessary to do frequent bathing. If your rabbit is healthy and looks reasonably clean, because rabbits are a lot like cats in that they keep themselves clean by licking themselves. They do their grooming, and I don't notice quite the extent of cleaning that the rabbit does as much as, say, my pet cat does, but she... Grace the rabbit, she does do quite a bit of cleaning with her tongue, and but sometimes she has a little bit of digestive problems, or she's not aimed right, maybe in the litter box, and I find that I try to help her a little by bathing her on those rare occasions. Probably right now I bathe her maybe every 2 months. And when I say bathe her, I don't mean a full bath. I'm only giving her usually from the middle down, say just below the shoulders, the armpits down. The rest of her doesn't get that dirty, and those parts she seems to manage to keep clean very, very well. In fact, if I was to be very blunt, the areas that she sometimes needs a little help on is in her elimination areas, to be polite. So when that does occur, and she's getting a little bit yellowish in there, now my rabbit is multicolored, but generally she's the predominant color that she has is white, so I can tell when she's getting a little bit discolored in certain areas. So when that happens, what I do is I take her. When I say bathe, I'm not really putting her in the bathtub, because she's one of those kind of rabbits that I've tried bathing her in the sink, and it freaks her out to the point, even with securely holding her, it freaks her out to the point where those back legs just hit the water and just they both thump into it, and not only is the mirror completely covered in water, the vanity's covered in water, and I'm covered in water. Okay, for those of you who heard the doorbell, I'm back. That's one thing about podcasts. You can't plan your interruptions. So, back to bathing the bunny. And I left off where my bunny rabbit, my rabbit Grace, she doesn't like to be bathed in the sink, because she tends to make a ruckus and everything is covered in water. And even though I kind of know that there might be a mess, or a slight mess, even done the right way, I really don't want the entire bathroom covered in water, because, like most people these days, I don't have time to be cleaning the whole bathroom and myself to boot afterwards. So, what I do is, with Grace, I have to bring her into the shower. I have the type of shower that you can sit down on a little like stool ledge thing, but if I didn't have that little built-in stool in my shower, I could potentially use a bathtub, pull the shower curtain closed and then just sit on the side of the bathtub and do it that way with her on my lap. If I didn't want to do that, they also make those kind of senior citizen stools that you can bring into the shower with you. You could also sit on something like that. So what I do is before I get this whole process going, I get everything ready. And the reason I get everything ready is when you have the rabbit on your lap and the water starts to hit the rabbit, sometimes they get a little active, nervous, or just excited about the whole process. And you have to use one hand, obviously, to hold the rabbit underneath the armpits. My rabbit, when I put her on my lap, I don't mean she's right side up. She's actually upside down. She's cradled on my lap. Her, you know, in my lap is her whole spine, basically, and I hold her with the one hand underneath the armpit so that she can't wriggle. And the reason that I put her upside down, like on her back on my lap, is because if at that angle she can't move around too much, she's more secure. If I had her right side up, then chances are she would start kicking me in the lap or whatever. Now, when you do it, I do it in my bathing suit or a pair of shorts or something and a tank top, and you know, I just resolve myself that those clothes are going to be wet. And I close the shower curtain, shower doors, whatever the case might be, because, you know, otherwise there will be water all over the place, or potentially, you know, all over the place. So I just resolve myself that this, I'm going to get wet, my clothes are going to get wet that I'm wearing, so I wear as little as possible. But if you are uncomfortable with not knowing how the rabbit's going to react, I would put on a pair of pants or denim long shorts or something, just in case you know, you don't hold the rabbit right and the rabbit, you know, kind of twists herself loose and accidentally, you know, scratches you. So you could do it with long sleeves if you wanted, or you could do it with long pants, but mine, I've kind of mastered what she's going to do, and she wriggles a little bit, but I hold her nice and securely, but gently at the same time, so I don't have her injure herself. So anyways, what I also do is, when I say shower, obviously, if I just turn on the shower that would be mounted to the wall, that would be pretty hard to get the right aim. So my shower has a hose on it. Some people keep the hose on as a permanent kind of thing, which is mine, and I just clip it on to its clip at the top, and it performs as a normal shower. But when I'm doing my animals, I obviously unhook it from the stand and use it as a hose type shower thing. If you don't want to do that, they sell pet shower nozzles with the hose attached that you can take them off and put them on, and it's pretty easy to do. You can go to the Omaha Vaccine Company. I don't recall offhand the exact web address, but I know it's Omaha Vaccine, and you can Google that, and they have a pretty long hose on their pet bather, and it attaches on and off. You can use that as well, and it has a shut-off valve. Mine doesn't have a shut-off valve. So anyways, I have everything all ready. The rabbit's ready. I have a nice towel right next to the shower stall ready, so that when I'm done, I can just, with one hand, reach down and get that towel just outside the shower doors. And I also have the pet shampoo ready and opened and accessible to my reach, so that I don't have to be stretching all over the shower to get everything. And it's opened, so that all I have to do is, with one hand, when you're doing all this stuff, you're only having one hand if you're doing it yourself. You have to use one hand to turn it over and squeeze some shampoo into your hands. You could get pet shampoo at the pet store, rabbit shampoo to be precise, or what I use, because the pet shampoo at the store is a very mild shampoo, but it's expensive, and sometimes it's hard to get. I found that Johnson's baby shampoo works just as good, and it's a whole lot cheaper. And it's very, very gentle. And I get the one where it says no tears. Now, I don't know if that really works for animals, but I figured, what the heck, it's better than, you know, getting something that doesn't say no tears. So, but another thing, it doesn't really matter about that part for me in the bathing of the rabbit, because I never get to her face. I never do her ears with the shower, or really from her shoulders on downward, that's what I bathe, and the rest stays dry, basically. Might get slightly damp, but that's about it. If you really want to freak out your rabbit, just, all you got to do is get their face wet, like any animal. It is definitely a sobering experience, I would guess, and frightening, actually. So, anyways, what I do as far as water temperature goes, I have it be lukewarm. So it could be lukewarm to warm, but I lean towards lukewarm. And the reason in my mind that I decide to do that is because I may think that some water feels warm to me, but to another person, such as an animal or a case in point, a baby, when you bathe a human baby, you may like your bath a certain temperature and think, well, this is a good hot bath. It's not too hot. But to a baby's tender skin, it might feel maybe not scalding, but very, very hot. And so I kind of base that same thing that an animal seems to have more sensitivity to the warm water. So I tend to go with lukewarm. And in fact, I also base it on my dog. When I bathe her in the shower with the shower nozzle, if it's more than lukewarm, she's panting. And I know they pant from being nervous, but she pants less when it's lukewarm. And I think it's because if I have it warmer than that, it feels hot to her and also makes her extremely nervous. So I do the lukewarm water, to make a long story short, as I tend to make everything long. So first what I do is I wet down the rabbit, and with the shower nozzle, I try to make it so that it's not a real strong stream of water on her, because you know how sometimes if you have a shower nozzle straight on your scalp or a certain part of your body, it can almost hurt a little bit. If the water pressure is really strong, then that can really pound into your head or whatever. Well, the same as happens with an animal, only a rabbit is way more startled than you would be, not just from maybe it hurting them with that pressure, but also just making them scared about that intense pressure. So I tend to either turn down the water pressure some. If I can't do that, then I'll hold out the nozzle maybe, 12 inches versus, 2 inches from its skin. So anyways, I do that, get her all nice and wet, and then with the one hand that's free, that's not holding her underneath her armpits, I will turn off the water and then use that same hand and pour some shampoo in my palm of my hand. All this is done very carefully. You can also have a helper, which I would highly recommend. You have a partner who could help you, or even a child that could help you, who could periodically say, hey, give me the shampoo now, put some on my hand, and so forth. They can't really help you hold the rabbit, but they can help you to, get the shampoo on there, turn on the water, get the water regulated, all that. But myself, sometimes I guess I'm the pioneer and I end up doing it myself. It is doable by yourself. You might want to have help the first time you do it. The whole process really only takes about, plan for about 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. But anyway, so I do that and I wet her down, and then I'll put the shampoo on her, on my hand, on her, start very, very gently bathing her and rubbing in the water and the soap in those areas. If it's the private areas and you want to go very gently, both for a female and especially for a male, because as we all know, men and male rabbits are much more sensitive, and you can do injury or really do some pain if you're not completely gentle. So that's what I do, and sometimes in the past, it doesn't happen so much now that I have my rabbit on the right diet, which is the Timothy hay and the right pellets, which I've said in my Feeding Your Rabbit podcast. You can get all the information on proper feeding. Since I've been properly feeding my rabbit, I really don't have to bathe her very often at all. And the few times that she's a little bit soiled, it's nothing compared to what it used to be when I was using the pet store's recommendation of what to feed my rabbit, which was pellets and treats and all kinds of stuff, rabbit treats and so forth. She was getting the diarrhea a lot, or loose stool, and at that time she would have, it would only take a day or two before she would have all kinds of material, fecal material, around her privates, and she couldn't even get them off. They'd dry in no time, and then I had to bathe her and, you know, kind of soak her a little bit, first with water, and then I would have to put the shampoo on and kind of just sit there with her for about 5 minutes, and very gently and patiently for 5 to 10 minutes, just slowly with my fingertips, get her clean, because it needed time to really soak. But, you know, so anyways, when she's just standardly dirty, where it's not that big a deal, nothing's impacted, then you just kind of soap her in gently, and then when you're done, just rinse her off again, turn on the water, make sure it's regulated, make sure it's not going to vary in temperature. You know, some showers, you'll start it off right, and then within seconds, 15 to 30 seconds, all of a sudden it's blazing hot. You don't want that to happen, so get it all regulated in advance, make sure it's going to be consistent, and then again, rinse them off, keeping the nozzle, you know, far enough away that the pressure doesn't startle your rabbit either. So once all that's done, I make sure she's thoroughly been rinsed off, because if you leave soap on them, you know, any amount of soap, you never know, you could get an infection. So I make sure that my rabbit is very thoroughly rinsed off. Once that's done, the rabbit just can't wait to get out of there, let me tell you. But I have either somebody hand me that animal fresh towel, or I reach for it, you know, with that one free hand and pull it from behind the shower door, and then I very gently either wrap her up in it, or start to slowly just kind of pat her dry, and then kind of, you know, put a little pressure, but not too much, and dry her off. Then what I do, sometimes you can also cuddle them in the towel and just very gently, you know, push on the towel. But be very careful, because I want to emphasize that rabbits' bones are very, very weak. They're not like human bones, or even close, or even a child's bones. You could very easily dislocate them if you, you know, really smash down to and really rub the heck out of them to dry them. So just be very gentle. Better to have them be a little wetter than you'd like them to be when you're all done drying them than to have pressed too hard and possibly broken a leg or dislocated something. I don't have any problem with that, so don't worry too much. You know, just being gentle and careful. You don't have to worry about breaking a bone, but like I said, better to keep them a little wet than to go too far with it. They'll dry, air dry eventually. So anyways, when I'm all done cuddling her in the towel and kind of patting her dry and doing what I can to get most of the moisture out of her, then I will let her into the bathtub area, or the shower area that you're bathing in. And the door on mine is still closed, and I kind of let her hop around a little in there, and she'll shake herself off a little, and I can kind of, you know, in that small space, kind of chase her around a little bit and pat her dry a little bit more. And then when I'm all done, I open up the shower doors, and in my case, it's at floor level. So she just hops out into the bathroom, of which I've closed the doors beforehand so that she doesn't hop into the bedroom and go under the bed and start chewing up cords or whatever. But yes, that's what I do. And then, as you know from my other podcast, that I do let my rabbit out in the bathroom for extended periods of time all day. Well, for me, all day. But some people do it just for a few hours. And I have the bathroom all set up for her with her little litter box, which is a cat box with rabbit litter in it, and some food and water, and, you know, basically nothing in the bathroom that can do her any harm or where she can get to any cords that she could chew. So anyway, she jumps out of the shower area, and then I just let her hang out basically all day. She's done. And by the time, several hours later, and it's time for her to go back in her cage, it could even be 3-4 hours later, she, depending on how well I dried her, she might still be slightly damp, which is fine. She's going to be going back in her cage. And as you know from other podcasts about housing your rabbit, I have a corner litter box, so I don't have to worry about the litter sticking to her, because I don't have her cage set up where it's just, you know, the pine chips or whatever in the bottom of the cage where it sticks to them and so forth. It's not a very hygienic way of doing it, and it's certainly not a very easy way of keeping the cage clean either. So my rabbit, Grace, she goes back into her cage, you know, slightly damp at the end of the day. You could put them in right away if you wanted. You don't have to let them hang out in the bathroom like I do all day or whatever. But you could put them back in the cage. Of course, if you're using that pine chips all in the bottom of your cage, then it's probably going to stick all to your rabbit. But it sure beats the alternative, which is not bathing your rabbit and having, you know, excrement on them. That, you know, eventually if it's just pine chips sticking to them, they'll dry and it'll fall off them. But I've had a few knots in when I used to do that with my other rabbit. My first rabbit, Wabbert was his name, he had the pine chips on the bottom of his cage. He didn't really like not having it on the bottom. He was a deer rabbit, but a very peculiar personality. And he wanted things, I started him off that way, and he didn't want anything changed. So when I would put him back into his cage after bathing him, it would stick for a little while and sometimes a few knots, but it still was better than, you know, him being dirty from excrement. So that's how you bathe your rabbit. Now, you don't have to do it upside down like I do on your lap in the shower if your rabbit can handle like a real bath in the sink. Wabbert, my dwarf bunny, didn't mind at all having a bath in the sink. I would just fill up the sink with lukewarm water. I would hold him with, you know, bring him out of his cage and hold him underneath his armpits and support him very good and slip him into the sink with the warm water, and he just loved it. He didn't hop around or try to splash me or cause a ruckus. In fact, he was so relaxed when I was doing it that he was almost asleep in my hands. So he used to get impacted excrement on him, and I had to basically soak him, holding him on, you know, in the sink, you know, his rear end area. Again, I would do his back half and not so much the front half, because he didn't really get that dirty. I might dip his front paws in the water just to clean them off or whatever, but I would do the back end, soak him. And very gently, because he was a male, especially gently, I had to, you know, take 5 to 10 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes of patient, very gentle scrubbing with my hands of his parts. So that's what you have to do. And if you don't do that, or if you're delinquent in doing it, or you miss it, you don't notice it, poor Wabbert, at times, there were times in his life, he lived to be 12 years old, but where I wasn't feeding him properly, and that's also one of the reasons I do this podcast now, because I learned what not to do. And I thought I was spoiling him and feeding him great, but it turns out that my spoiling him with special rabbit treats and things like that was causing digestive problems, and he would get loose stools often. And, well, there was a couple of times where I didn't really notice that he was soiled as much as he was because I was busy with my day. And it only takes a day or so before they can start to get sores on them. And you can imagine how painful that must be to have burning sores and then be soiled on top of it with stuff that might be sticking to you, causing, you know, that burn to just be happening all the time. It's no wonder that that the sores would form. So you do have to do that, even though you may not like putting your hands in those places, or you may not like the whole business of getting things wet or going in the shower and getting your clothes wet, or just taking the time to do it. It really is not a fun job to do, but it's part of caring and loving and being compassionate, and that's what you have to do when you have a pet, or you know it happens with family members as well. Sometimes you have to do a lot of things you don't want to do, but you do it because you're compassionate. So that's why I do it, and it sure makes them happier. And hey, if there's anything called reincarnation, and you know, you past karma and stuff, if it does exist, you know, if you won't do it out of compassion, maybe you'll do it because the next life you might come back as one. Anyways, a little of my dull humor. But another tip I can give you, when you are bathing your rabbit, just after you're done with the bathing process and you've kind of gotten most of the water off, maybe with the towel or even before, you could do the toenail clipping or the nail clipping of the rabbit. Now this one, you usually need to have someone else help you do it, because they get startled and they do like to kick. Like all of a sudden their leg will be still as you're getting ready to clip, and then all of a sudden they get startled and bing, they throw their paw out and they could potentially scratch you or the person, you know, that's helping you cutting the nails. I have my daughter do it. With Wabbert, he had dark nails and it was hard to see where the quick is. What a quick is, it's a vein that runs inside the toenail, inside the claw, and if you hit that vein, it'll start bleeding. It's like a dog, and I'm not sure if a cat has it, but a dog has it definitely. And so Robert had brown nails, and it was hard to figure out where that quick was, so me and my daughter tended to go conservatively cutting his nails, his claws. But if you don't cut them, they will eventually curl around. It'll half cripple the rabbit if you don't do it. It'll curve their whole toe to one side. So that is a definite. You have to trim their nails. And you can use clippers, like the big toenail clippers that for humans, or you can use the special animal clippers. Both work. I use they look like scissors, but they're toenail clippers for humans. I use those for Gracie, and they seem to work the best for me. But you can use other things as well. But not scissors. Regular scissors don't work right. And when you trim them, their nails, do it after the bath, because their nails are kind of sharp afterwards, have kind of sharp edges. And if for some reason you're bathing the rabbit and it gets loose, or you don't have it held securely enough, and he or she scratches you, then with the freshly cut nails, it'll scratch a little bit more, and maybe even, you know, cause a slight bleeding scratch. So I do mine after, or sometimes I'll just do the nail trimming at a different time than bathing, with my daughter doing it. Now Gracie has white nails, so we can easily see the quick. The quick is not red, even though you think it's a vein. But it looks like a thicker white area inside there, inside the claw nail. And you just, you know, make sure that you trim well away from that quick. If they do bleed, they're not going to bleed to death, and they'll bleed for a little while. And you don't have to take them to the vet typically. I've never known anybody who's had to take them to the vet by nipping into that quick, but they do bleed for a little while, and you might want to keep them, say, in the bathroom with the door closed. You know, and eventually, you know, like all cuts and stuff, minor cuts, it will stop bleeding, and then you can put them away. But my guess is that it must hurt some, so just be real careful with that. And if you don't feel comfortable trimming your rabbit's claws yourself, you can take it down to the vet. Just put it in one of those cat carriers. They go right in. It's real easy to get a rabbit in a cat carrier, typically. Load them in butt first. Sometimes they don't see it coming. And then just take them down to your vet, call ahead, and ask them just to trim. And sometimes they'll do it themselves. Sometimes they'll have their assistant do it, but it's really cheap. And, ask your vet. Just say, I don't want to pay for a full office visit. I just need some help with the trimming of the claws. And if you have a decent vet, they might charge you anywhere from $5 to $20. Probably more like $10 for trimming of the claws. And just say, it doesn't necessarily have to be you, but I'm afraid to do it, or I'm a little apprehensive about the whole process. Can I just bring it in? Just say, I don't need a full appointment. My rabbit is fine otherwise, so that they can't get you to get looped into that thing if your rabbit doesn't need it's a checkup or whatever. So you want to do the claws every, depending on how fast they grow. I guess every rabbit's different, but for my rabbit, she gets her claws trimmed about every 2 months. So you can even go maybe 2.5, but after that, you really got to do it, because it will make their toes go in the wrong direction. They'll get caught in the cage. They could break a toe. It's just one of the things that comes part of the care of the rabbit. So anyways, that, I guess, sums up how to bathe your rabbit and how to trim its nails. And don't put the shower nozzle or the water nozzle on their face, and try to keep the water out of their ears, because you don't want, wet ears, and who knows, I don't know, but you might get an infection in the ears if you start putting water down there, not to mention really freaking the rabbit out. There's other ways to clean their ears, and in another podcast I'll tell you how to do that. And again, that as well, a vet can do at the same time if you want. They'll do their special way of cleaning the ears if you want, when you take them to have the nails trimmed. Maybe you can get both things for the same price, for a low price. So anyways, that's it for this podcast, and I'm sorry there was a bit of a hiatus in between this podcast and the last podcast. I did some vacationing, and I got kind of absorbed in life, I guess. But I will knock these out as regularly as I can possibly do, and just keep posted. And thanks for your patience for the terrible way that I podcast, but hopefully you'll be able to glean some good tips, and it will make your life a little easier and make your rabbit's life just a little more enjoyable. So thank you all, and have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Or I'll talk to you next time. Bye.